In the lazy, hazy days of summer, I remember my favorite baseball coach who gave me my best baseball season. I'm Michigan Radio sports commentator John Eubankin, here to tell you about good old Coach Mack. I loved baseball from the start, but it didn't love me. When I started in T-ball, I was so short that if the catcher put the tee on the far corner of the plate, I couldn't reach it. Yes, I struck out in T-ball. Our first year of live pitching was not any better. One game, we were beating the other team so badly, they were about to trigger the mercy rule and end the game. Coach Van pulled me in from my post in right field, where I was keeping company with the Dandelions, and told me to pitch. I wasn't a pitcher. I wanted to be a catcher like my hero, Bill Freehand. But I'm thinking, this is my chance. I walked three batters, but miraculously, I got three outs. We won, and I figured that was my stepping stone to greater things. I was surprised when my dad was not as happy as I was, because he knew better. But he didn't tell me until years later. Coach Van was not putting me in to finish the game. He was putting me in to get shelled so the game would keep going. He was putting me in to fail. The next game, I went back to right field and the Dandelions, never to return to the infield the rest of the season. But when Coach Van and his family moved, our assistant coach, Mack McKenzie, became our head coach the next year, and my world changed almost overnight. Coach Mack wore a baseball cap on his big square head with his big square glasses. He looked tough, with a permanent squint and the underbite of a bulldog. When he was smashing ground ball after ground ball, sweat dripped off his pointy nose. But he thought I was feisty and funny. I could tell he wanted me to do well, and he believed that I would. The effect was immediate, dramatic, and lifelong. From the very first practice under Coach Mack, I started smacking the ball as if I'd been waiting years to do it, which I had been. Our first game, he started me at catcher and had me batting leadoff. I got two hits, the first of my life, and my teammates voted me captain. I was on fire for baseball. I played some form of it every chance I had all summer long. One Saturday morning, practice was rained out. But this being Michigan, a little while later, the sun came out, so I biked down to the field to check it out for myself. There are a few puddles here and there, but the biggest one was behind the plate, where I would be, and it didn't look that bad to me. So I rushed home, and I called Coach Mack. He told me if I made the phone calls, we'd have practice. I convinced enough of my teammates to come down to convince Coach Mack to come down too, and we practiced. After he'd hit ground balls to third base, to shortstop, to second base, and first, I'd say, "Come on, Coach Mack, give me one," meaning roll the ball out for me to scoop up the ball and throw to first. "You want a bunt, do you? Come on, Coach Mack, you know I do." "There you go," he'd say, and roll one out just for me. The next year, I became a better hockey player, too, and I don't need to tell you the central role that sports have played in my life. But that's where it started. I've always been too dependent on my teachers and my coaches and my bosses. When they don't believe in me, I don't go very far. But when they do, I'm capable of, well, more, and sometimes much more. I'm sure this is why I'm attracted to coaching and teaching myself. I know the difference it can make. A couple years later, the McKenzies moved to California. I have no idea where they are now. I don't even know if Coach Mack is still with us, but he's still with me. "Come on, Coach Mack, give me one."